Hello again, and welcome back to the Electrify Expo podcast. I'm Matt Teske here with Joe Boris. And today we're going to be talking about, well, Nikola starting off again. So I guess what's the news on Nikola again this week, Joe?
Nikola seems to be in the news every week these days. There's really two things that I want to touch on since our last episode. The first one being that Nikola is now, I guess the CEO is threatening to sue Bloomberg for a report that I guess they're saying that the truck that they showed at the initial unveiling wasn't really a runner, wasn't a complete truck. And obviously with somebody who's kind of litigation happy, we want to be real careful how we say that. So we're going to say he allegedly showed a non-running truck. So that's item one. And item two, so Nikola has this thing called the Badger, which is an electric pickup concept. It's four-door. I mean, it's as far as I understand, it's a rendering. Maybe there's a prototype out there. And they're going to production with this thing. And they're taking $5,000 deposits for your place in line for this Badger pickup. And in exchange for that $5,000, not only do you get one of the first limited edition or whatever Badger pickups, but you get to go to, I believe it's a three-day event for the unveiling. So you can hang out with the Nikola CEO. Am I getting that right?
It's something like that. This is a new approach, obviously, compared to any of the other unveiling that I think has traditionally happened. But they're kind of blending and mixing like what they're coming out with. And there's also the reality of that there just isn't anything out yet. The truck part of it, I think that they've proven they've got a good design going. I think that they have the right backing for that. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, it went from like, well, Tesla's making a truck, so we don't mind. But hey, we got a drawing in the back of our pockets. And for some reason, they thought the Cybertruck was not a solid design or something. So out of nowhere, oh, we're going to make the Badger now.
Well, it's funny that you say that because, I mean, there was an article where Trevor Milton's the founder of Nikola. He was actually quoted as saying, I'm gonna read it here while we're talking. We were not planning on it being building the Badger, if he, meaning Elon Musk, built a good-looking truck. I was waiting to be first on the list, but I would never buy a Cybertruck. The Badger is what I was hoping Tesla would build design-wise. So if he won't, I will. I mean, that's them's fighting words, Clem.
I mean, them's his fighting words. The only concern I have with it is, like, I wouldn't reserve a vehicle that's based on a rendering right now on a company that doesn't have their production facility up and running and is producing anything yet. Plus 5Gs, that's no joke. I mean, that is a big reservation. So it's I don't know. I just don't understand the strategic approach to it. I'm more interested in people showing product than PR at this point. But it's not to say that I don't want to see him succeed, but sorry.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like you and I are very much on the same page with this kind of stuff. And that's what we were talking about when Nikola was doing their IPO. Before they did their IPO, we had a whole segment. We had like almost half an episode talking about how, this, I don't know about this. How are they going to go IPO? They don't have any products, this and that. And they went IPO and raised billions of dollars. So maybe $5,000 on a rendering is, totally reasonable to ask in 2020. And we're just old.
Yeah, we are old. I think the other thing too is everybody's looking for the next unicorn. I mean, Tesla has been beat up by basically everybody for the last decade about, oh, they're going to fail. Oh, the quarterly is going to look like this. Who cares? Our delivery is going to be terrible. No one's going to care, blah, blah, blah. And they have just consistently proven in a slog to get it done. And now they have a valuation of what? The highest valuation of any automaker on the planet, and they're not even arguably an automaker. They're more of an energy company. Everybody's looking for the next unicorn, and I'm just kind of like, I have more faith in products like Rivian right now for what I think they could end up doing because they seem to have a more believable approach, I guess.
But they don't have billions of dollars in stock valuation.
No, but they've got billions from Amazon and Ford.
That's true. That is true.
So did Ford
go through with that? I thought they pulled the plug on that.
Well, they pulled the plug on the Lincoln platform that was going to be built on the Rivian chassis. But Ford is still an investor into Rivian, and they still have plans to be backing what they're doing, namely from like a transit truck. So there's a lot that Ford still has banked on with Rivian. So I just feel like there's more meat on the bone there. And again, and it's not to downplay what Nikola has already achieved by sake of engineering and design and everything else, but I'm not buying in on the same level as other people just yet. So
just yet. I think that yet is the way to go, right? Like, I want to see something happen. And as soon as I see kind of one thing running and moving under its own power, I'll be a lot more excited.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
So let's move on before we get sued. Oh, you know what? Actually, I don't want to move on for a second. I want to kind of stop here because, you know, we're talking about these valuations and these multi-billion dollar valuations for companies that really haven't built anything. There's a Chinese company called, I think you pronounce it Byton, B-Y-T-O-N.
Byton.
Byton, yeah. All right. Yeah. So this is like the total opposite. This is a company that they built a 800 plus thousand square foot, massive, ultra-modern, super quality control factory. They started building cars. What they were really famous for was they showed an electric car that had a 48-inch touchscreen. Yeah,
the steering wheel had a touchscreen in it.
That was badass. I mean, I don't know that I'd want it rocketing into my face in an airbag collision, but you know, I've had worse things and better things happen to me. They were in pre-production. And again, for people who aren't in the industry, pre-production is a point where your assembly line is built, your people are working. These are the cars that you're building. And before you can start selling them, you have to send them out to get crash tested, yep, emissions tested. And you're looking, you know, but this is like the final proof of concept. Like, this isn't your rough draft. This is like, you know, the group is looking for where to put the commas and stuff before they hand it into the teacher.
It's like, the final report without the cover on it, right?
It's a final report without the cover on it. Exactly right. And they, in April, they were building these things. And then of course COVID happened and they furloughed some of their staff and they were like, okay, we're going to take a break. It looks like they're going to shut down for like 6 months. Cause obviously they're not selling anything right now. They're not opening new dealerships right now. They have like hit a wall in terms of income. They can't find any income. And what's wild looking at that is like, here's a product. It works. It runs and drives. People are driving around in these things. They're ready to go and they can't rub two nickels together to make a quarter. And these other companies are showing drawings of stuff and getting millions and billions of dollars. What's going on?
Byton's an interesting one because even the position that they took when they presented the M-Byte, their first vehicle, when they showed it, the position they took was not that it was an electric car. They weren't even emphasizing that. Like, the electric powertrain was kind of like, oh yeah, and it's electric. It was more so they were saying, you know, this is your lifestyle experience on wheels. It's going to have Alexa built into it. I mean, the last presentation they had a variety of talking points that in their view, they had developed out this like paradigm shift for vehicles. And some people were really jazzed about it. I mean, like, oh yeah, it's got this massive screen in it. This is really cool. But I think what I think other brands that are getting this attention for funding, like Rivian or Nikola, for example, is they just, even though the powertrains are new, they still feel more straightforward. Like even the CEO of Nikola saying like, this is the truck that I wanted. He's not going out like doing something really weird and crazy. Most people, when they see the Badger rendering, they're like, oh, it looks like a souped up F-150 or a souped up Ram or something. That I think for most people, like, well, I'd still drive that. It's less of a leap. And I think Byton was genuinely taking a stab at something that felt very different. And again, the funding that they had got them to where they are, but I don't think it's by brand. I think it may have just been by approach.
I don't know. I just, you know, this seems to be a recurring theme in all these episodes that we talk about, you know, the branding of this electric vehicle. And, you know, do you go with a legacy brand? Do you go with something new? I mean, you know, if that thing said Saturn on the nose and it was being sold through GM dealers, that'd be awesome. You know, you turn it on and like, plays the 2001 Odyssey and the planet comes up on that big 48-inch screen and like the rings of Saturn. And it's like, good morning, Dave. Doesn't matter. Your name's not Dave. It doesn't matter. It says good morning, Dave.
You'll be Dave in that moment.
You'll be Dave in that moment. You'll be dead in a week because it'll come alive and kill you. But I think it would sell. I'm ready to move on now. Are you good?
Well, I think that you capped it off well with the 2001 Space Odyssey. It could have gone there. I don't know. Maybe
gone to the autonomous murdering robot.
Right. Well, maybe not that far, but you know, and it was so nice.
Maybe it's good. Maybe it's a good thing they just go away.
Number B.
Number B. So the next thing I want to talk about is the Arcimoto Deliverator.
Yeah.
I love this thing. So if you haven't seen the Arcimoto, it's a weird little cross between like a scooter and I want to call it a trike, like a three-wheeled motorcycle, but it's really not that. It's almost like a three-wheeled like Vespa kind of thing. It's got two wheels in the front. it definitely has more of like a moped vibe than like a Harley vibe. And I say that with love. Yeah. Like, I love the thing. And it's electric and it's in production. They've delivered a couple of them, but they have kind of a new niche. And what they've been doing in the Northwest is they're giving these things out or selling, leasing them out to these restaurants and gig delivery services like Uber Eats and things like that. And they're these little electric things with a cargo deal on the back that keeps your pizza warm or your lasagna warm, or in my case, a bucket of Thai chicken warm. And it goes from there, and it just kind of scoot around. Have you seen these things?
I have. I get Arkimoto. I mean, they've been working feverishly for years, getting their vehicle to where it's at. And I think this is exactly the niche where their platform makes sense. You have a very lightweight, very nimble electric vehicle that you can do something in an urban setting with really effectively. And delivery, especially for something like food right now, is perfect. And so any of these companies that are in a position where they're like, well, we can't have you coming in, but we can come to you. I think arguably, depending on how much the bottom line cost is for the deliverator, as they're calling it, is really a smart move. And frankly, you know, it really, I think, kind of better captures what their product is offering to people. Because I think they, in the past, they had the two tandem seats, like one in front of the other, and showing it was like, oh, you can get two people in this thing and you can drive wherever you want to go. It's about 100 miles of range. But I think this really makes it a more marketable product, maybe from a business perspective. And I think a lot of people are going to take advantage of it because, yeah, it can go 70 miles an hour. They don't need to do that in town too much, but I mean, hey, it's a cool little fun car to get where you need to go.
I don't know that I need my pizza delivered quite that quickly.
Yeah, right.
It's funny to look at this thing and think about it in terms of like, all right, I mean, it's not really new technology. I mean, if you are familiar with engineering and familiar with the business, there's nothing really revolutionary about this thing. But to still think about it, like, what's it competing against? It's competing against, like, you know, some college kid's 2011 Kia, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's legitimate. But I mean, they've got the ability to say, oh, hey, well, in the back, I'm not sure if they can keep it both cool and warm in the back. I think they have ability, it's insulated.
So you have insulated sections, right? So yeah. You have like the hot food with the hot food, the cold food with the cold food. And like, I mean, the other question is like, how do it know? But that's not.
No. Yeah. but steering this thing again, it's more like a bike than it is like a car, in the sense that it's got the handlebars for, you know, for steering. It is a cool little vehicle that I think in an urban setting, this application of their platform is exactly where they need to be. And I'm honestly, it took something like COVID and the pandemic to open up this opportunity in a way that maybe makes more sense to people because they can apply it to their lives faster. So I'm psyched to see this. I hope this ends up being pretty successful for them. So
yeah, you mentioned the pandemic. Are we still doing that? It kind of seems like it comes and goes in the news lately.
Yeah, the hype train, like every now and then it runs out of steam, and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, pandemic back, man. It's Monday. So
right, pandemic is over. So you know, speaking of those $5,000 deposits to go to the Badger unveiling, is everybody gonna be wearing like Nikola branded masks or something? Or
I got to be honest, we're kind of back on that a bit, but I was thinking about it right now. Events are something that you have to be very mindful of when you're trying to get people together, and we're phasing it in to just kind of throw out the fact that your 5Gs is associated with an event where you're bringing people together. That struck me as just kind of a little bit odd considering the timing. I mean, Geneva just canceled their show for 2021. There will be no Geneva Auto Show in 2021. It's like, that's a big deal. And they're kind of like, hey, pay us $5,000 and come to an event with other people. I don't know.
But again, you can hang out with Trevor.
Well, hey, man. I mean, I wouldn't doubt he's interesting to sit and chat with considering how he is with the media. And he's clearly got a personality that's big. So it's like, I'd be curious to hear what he has to say about a lot of stuff. But
let's look at it another way. Like, imagine that you're hosting like a corporate retreat and you want this guy to come speak at your retreat. Like, to bend that dude's ear for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You know, a guy who made billions of dollars on a rendering, it might be worth 5Gs.
But then who am I? I'm an idiot that paid $5,000 to try to have a conversation.
right. First thing you do is you book an event and you charge $5,000 for it.
Seriously, right, yeah.
I'm going to backtrack that one. This is one of those where you're a lot smarter than me. I'm going to leave it alone. We're going to go back to section 17. I'm going to move this thing forward. So, for those of you who aren't super familiar with the world of electric cars, over in Croatia, there's a company called Rimac or something, because I always...
Rimac.
Yeah, see, I can't pronounce these things correctly. I'm going to go with Rimac because they're in Croatia. Screw those people. But they make a hell of a car.
Yeah, they just make an amazing supercar that's a
They make like the most amazing supercar. I mean, it doesn't even matter that it's electric, right? Like, bring whatever you want, gas powered, ethanol powered, you know, running on the baby seal blood from episode one. It doesn't matter. And the Rimac is going to really give it a run for its money. It's an incredibly extreme vehicle. And I believe they've been working with Porsche. They've been working with some Formula E teams to really advance the state of the art for not only electric motors, but battery technology as well. And they're now making a bicycle, right? And we're calling it Grape?
Yeah, the thing is, it's G-R-E-Y-P. And the moment I looked at it, I said, oh, that's Grape. You know,
it's Grape. So
It's Grape.
Yeah, grape. I don't know. Grape. I was going with gripe, like I'm an old man and I have a gripe about this.
I'm going to lean on grape just because if it's called gripe, it almost lends. But here's there's something getting lost in translation too. Like, I don't know. It's like ask someone what e-tron means in French, you know.
What does e-tron mean in French?
Pretty sure it means basically to defecate.
Oh, I like that. That's sort of like the citron. The French citron means lemon in Spanish.
Yeah.
And so, I think it means that in French too.
I speak neither. So yeah, I can speak a little bit of Spanish. You know, seeing these, it could be something. It's like, no, it's pronounced grape or gripe. I don't know. But nevertheless, the G6 e-bike they've developed and putting the Rimac technology or thought process, and holy crap, like these things are going to be insane.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where like, there's a lot of things in life that I look at it and I go, you know, like I watch these like House Hunter shows and like the $1 million listings and all that. And I get a kick out of them. But more than half the time I look at it and I go, man, even if I had that kind of money, like that's an ugly house. Why would you buy this? Why would you have this? Yeah. You know, man, no part of me is saying that when I look at this bike. Like I got to have this thing.
These are cool. I mean, again, I just the design, the aesthetic of it. You can tell there was a meticulous attention to detail with designing this. Not to say that any of the other e-bikes we've talked about previously didn't have that either. There's a design language that goes along with what Rimac is developing. You can tell it made its way into this bike.
Yeah, I also think that a lot of those bikes that we've talked about, they're great bikes and they're great products, but they're built to a price. Whatever that price may be, they're kind of built to a price. Right. You get the sense when you look at the Grape or the Gripe, what's the actual name of it? It's like the 6.1 or something?
G 6.1, and they've got again some variants within it of what you can do. And pricing wise, it ranges from like 8,000 all the way up to like 18,000. So
yeah, they just built this thing and they were like, dude, this is what it costs. Do you want it or not? And like, yeah, I want it.
There are going to be some people that they look at this as the prime toy for if they want to have something for an off-road bike that also is electric.
It is an off-road bike in that sense. I just get the sense that like this is. You take this thing anywhere and you're gonna have the coolest toy there, you know. And you talked about some of the different versions. So one of these versions, I was about to say a 250cc race bike, but it's not. I mean, it's making 66 pound feet of torque. That's like more than a Harley Sportster.
That's nuts.
And like not even like an 883, like a 1200 doesn't make 66 pound feet of torque, and it weighs a lot more than this little bicycle thing does, dude.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the other tech built into this thing is, for example, integrated cameras with 1080p for both front and rear.
that's just to put liability back on the rider. I mean, if you're going to take this thing 60 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour, which it should be able to do with that kind of torque, once you've de-restricted it and taken off all the, American speed limiters and all that, this thing should just haul ass. You know, somebody's going to do something stupid and they're just going to point to the camera and go,
wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me. You guys tried to, you know, you're the one who tried to jump 7 school buses. Like, that's on you.
Well, this is, it's going to keep some Knievels in the basement, but I'm sorry. this is where I think there's a lot of technology hiding underneath, but how they packaged it, it is going to draw in a lot of people that may not have already done it. And it's because also it's a fresh start from something that is built on the heritage of this other product that people go, I just see that Rimac and it's cool. And they go, oh, wow, I see this e-bike and it's also cool. So,
yeah, I don't think you can say that it has. I mean, other than like it nearly killed that guy from Top Gear, what heritage does it really have?
No, heritage meaning like it's okay. Well, maybe heritage is the wrong word because heritage requires time. It has some hype that is backed up by like, holy crap.
It has some hype.
some genuine hype that also got backed up by, like, actually the people that have driven it, it's like, damn, but also it has two commas involved when you want to buy one. So,
yeah, I think that's badass though. This is just one of those things that I look at it and, you know, if you told me it was 30 grand, I'd just kind of nod and go, yeah, I could see it. Like, I don't even flinch on stuff like this. This is just awesome. So the other neat thing about this, for those of you not looking at the same pictures that we're looking at, which is probably all of you considering this is a radio show, it's got T-Mobile kind of branding on it. So it is a connected vehicle. So it like kind of always knows where you are. For better or for worse, but you know, obviously if you're going down a mountain trail at 50 miles an hour and suddenly stop, you would like somebody to be able to get a phone call, right?
Well, also if your bike gets stolen, it basically, it's kind of like find my phone with like an iPhone, right?
Oh,
it's,
my God. Like, could you imagine if you spent 15 G's on this thing and it got stolen?
Well, you'd basically be able to find it down to like a foot.
Oh, I hadn't even started thinking about that. I'm going to start sobbing.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, where'd it go? It's like, let me look it up.
Yeah, let me look it up. But then you go to like buy, you know, it's like, it's not like you can just kind of call the insurance company and get another one the next week, right? I mean, they got to build it for you. You're going to be waiting for 3 months.
Ooh, yeah, there's that. Yeah, they're that uber nice. This is the kind of product I enjoy seeing coming out. They've got like different platforms, eTrekking, EMTB, and eCity. So right now, EMTB is what they're referring to as like platforms that are ready, but eTrekking and eCity are coming like down the line. So there's more coming out of this e-bike brand. Yeah, to just simply be excited about it. So if you're into e-bikes, yeah, check these guys out. And it's G-R-E-Y-P, grape or gripe. But either way, it's badass.
Yeah, you got to – and if you can afford it, certainly buy one. And if you can afford it and you're listening to this show, give us a call. We'll come out and test ride it for you.
Yeah, we'll come out and ask you how what's this bike like? And also
we'll let you know what we think, and you can see if the GPS works and finds it in my garage. I kind of want to move on. So one thing that I have in my notes here that is not approved content, and we talk about this a lot, that there is an approval process. Do kind of want to mention that I bought a new lawnmower recently, and I looked at a couple of the electric ones, and I didn't like them, but we'll put that on the back burner. And I want to talk about this interview that Lucid gave. And this was like a real TV interview, not like a blog interview. And I say that as a blogger. You know, where Lucid is talking about their car being a genuine luxury play in that like Mercedes-Benz, Rolls-Royce kind of thing. And he was kind of downplaying the Tesla and saying that that wasn't really a luxury brand and the kind of trying to put Lucid into its own space. Now, Matt, I know this is something you're more familiar with, the Tesla stuff, than I am. What do you think of that? Is the Tesla a luxury car?
Not to the scale of which I think. So Peter Rawlinson, the CEO of Lucid, came from Tesla. He was part of the Model S development program, lead engineer on, I believe. But do I think that the Tesla is a luxury car in the same way traditional luxury cars are thought of? I think Peter Rawlinson's point is no. I think that it's a great electric car. It's a great platform. But some of the things they're talking about for Lucid Air, for their sedan that's coming out, is it is taking that to that next step. If you're in the market for a super high-end, luxurious interior, that there's nothing held back, it's not minimalistic, it's actually hyper-refined with materials and touch points and functionality in certain ways. I mean, even the back seat of the Lucid Air is this two-seat with kind of reclining seats. It's got that Maybach kind of feel to it. I think that's his point. And I think that there will be people that hear that maybe have been Tesla owners that have said, I love the Model S because it's fast, it's got room, it's, you know, the branding, I get it, it's high tech, it's simple, but they probably still want to treat themselves. And I think that's where the Lucid Air customer is going to come into play. I'm personally excited to finally be inside of one of the Lucid Airs and really see what it's like as a final product. So I don't mind the position they're taking. I think it's cool.
Yeah, so I'm looking online. I'll be honest, I hadn't thought of that, those rear captain's chairs, as like a super luxury item. But I mean, yeah, you're basically in this reclining massage seat in the back of this thing. You know, yeah, and I guess that's just me looking at it like as a poor person, right? Like I'm looking at it like you know, oh, that's going to be stupid when I try to put my child seats in there. And that's not really who this is for, right? This is like, you're going to be sitting in the back of this thing with the magic fingers and the massage rhythm going. And somebody else is going to be driving you around.
Yeah, your driver is going to ask you. Like, this is the type of vehicle when you roll up in it, it's like, I've arrived in the Lucid Air.
All right, well, I think that's it for this week. Is there anything I'm missing?
Yeah, I think this is it.
Hey, that's actually pretty efficient for us. I think we got a show here.